Hey, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. For the third year, it is presented by Hooters. We've been doing this for 4 years. It took us a year to get Hooters' attention. But since we've had their attention, they've had our back. Third year's presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is a very comfortable, familiar atmosphere for football watching, whether it is Thursday night football, college football on Saturday, pro football all day, all night Sunday, or as lousy as the Monday night games have been, and the analyst on those games doesn't make it any easier. But watching those games at Hooters with the world-famous Hooters girls, Hooters wings, and cold beverages of your choice actually may make the Monday night game palatable. There are 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area where I live, and you can go to originalhooters.com to find which of those 11 are closest to you. The closest to me, where we have our annual Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft event, is the Hillsborough Avenue location, just north and a little west of Raymond James Stadium and Steinbrenner Field. And the original Hooters, the first in the world, still remains, and they renovated it a few years ago, and it's wonderful. And the gift shop actually sells golf tees. None of the others do. Is in Clearwater, Florida. On what do they call that? Gulf to Bay? Yeah, Gulf to Bay, because it actually runs Gulf to Bay. That's good, Todd. You're getting old. You need to remember these things. For those of you around the state of Florida, around the country, and around the world, just type in Hooters to your device, and it will tell you where the closest location is if you don't already know. Shout out also to Sean Sullivan, who plays in the Hall of Fame Fantasy League and is competing for a first-round bye, let alone a playoff berth. In one of my podcast leagues, Sean from Bill Curry Ford. I also want to take some time to bring up one of my favorite charities because I played in their annual charity golf tournament yesterday. If you're ever just typing in random things to your device, and some get you in trouble, this one won't. Type in Sydney with a Y. Sydney, S-Y-D-N-E-Y, two Ys. Sydney has a sister. And that is a charity out of Tampa, Florida. Ernie and Becky have an autistic child. And as a result of having that autistic child, they started this charity for the greater good of autism. And they have multiple fundraisers every year. And the one that scratches my itch, and God knows I need my itch scratched, is the golf tournament. I'll never badmouth a charity, but I'll badmouth charity fundraising golf tournaments that don't give a shit about the golfer or the golf experience. Ernie and Becky do. They know that the people paying the freight to raise the money should be treated well, should be given a good day. And their attention to detail is wonderful. They've got my back. They support and play in Todd Wright Tour events. And yesterday I took one of my Hall of Famers, Bengal Ralph, and his partners, Tracy and Barry, and we all went out. And we paid our money and played and donated to Sydney Has a Sister, which beyond the cost of renting the golf course, look, the golf courses can't just give away tee times or they'd go out of business. So golf courses need to be paid for events like this. And there are other costs that are incurred with hosting a golf tournament as well. And once all of those costs are done, Ernie and Becky give every other dollar to the greater good of fighting autism. And they do this at all their fundraisers annually. There's a bar crawl. There's a casino night. There's one other. I don't know what it is. I haven't been to it yet. I say yet. I'll get there. But I was there yesterday and have been at many other golf tournaments, and these are wonderful people. So visit Sydney Has a Sister. I believe it's .org or is it .com? It's one of them. Or just type in Sydney with two Y's, Has a Sister, and find it. And just know that these are good people. And myself, Bengal Ralph, Tracy, and Barry had a good time yesterday. And if all charity golf fundraisers were more like the one Ernie and Becky run, more golfers would be treated well, and those type of tournaments wouldn't have a bad reputation that I'm trying to clear by running Todd Wright Tour golf events. Perhaps I'll see Ernie and Becky at Todd Wright Tour 22 coming up December 14th. It is not only a golf tournament. It is a holiday spectacular. What does that mean? I don't know. I'll figure it out by December the 14th. For some people that have looked at my golf tournament information, they're like, wow, you're the first reminder that Christmas is actually coming. After Halloween, it's just full steam ahead, right, to the holidays. Sad, isn't it? But Todd Wright Tour 22 is December the 14th. Thank you, Ernie, for letting me promote it at your event yesterday. If you would like information on Todd Wright Tour 22, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. All right, on to the fantasy. My email for fantasy info is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I simply want to offer you a second opinion. Do not ask me to pick A or B. Do not give me five names and say I need one of this and one of this. That's lame. That is cliche, live radio, live television, and I got more time than that. And I want to hear your opinion on your players, on your decision, on your trade offer, on your waiver claim, on why you feel like you should sit a particular player, and then ask me a question, and I'll offer you a second opinion. It might be that I agree with you. It might be that I disagree with you. But either way, I'm not going to set your lineup. I want to offer you a second opinion. I want to offer you something unique. And I do respond to every single email, and I have for three seasons running. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Just do me a favor. Email me Monday through Saturday. Sundays are mine. I have my own leagues to run, my own teams to run. I commission many leagues. I play golf, and I have my own plans, and I watch a lot of football. So I cannot get to your emails on Sunday. And also, when you have a question, this happens occasionally. If you ask one question and I answer it, and then you follow up, put it all in one email. Put everything in one email so I can take care of it at one time. Because once I answer that, I'm moving on to the next email, or I'm moving on with my life for that day. This is not a back and forth. Now, you can send more than one email during the season, but send one per week. You know, it's kind of like the old call into a radio talk show once per week type thing. Some say once per day if they're based around taking phone calls. But yeah, send me one email per week. You can put multiple questions in there, but just get it all in one email. So when I respond, we're done until next week, because fantasy changes weekly. One of the things that has made this, it's a very frustrating fantasy football season. I've talked about what I think is different out there. I've talked about the trends, our challenges, why our draft board didn't work. I am actually in my league, the Foundation. That's my personal league, not a podcast league. That's my personal league that I run in commission. I stink. I do. But I stand by much of my draft board. But I stink, and I'm probably not going to make the playoffs. Now, there's still time, and I've been aggressive with one deal within the last week. But this week in particular, because I have to sit Ezekiel Elliott, because Devontae Adams doesn't look like he will go again, because Adam Thielen did not go on Thursday night, and because Josh Jacobs may or may not go, and then we don't know how long he stays in the game for the Raiders this weekend, I can barely field a team without either taking a zero at a starting position or cutting a player that's hurt or on bye that I don't want to cut. I am right on the edge. You've all been there. Whether it's this week, a previous week, next week, a previous year, you've all been there. I'm there. And it's just part of fantasy football. It really is. That said, one of the things, and when I make my weekly appearances with the great Gil Alexander of the Vegas Stats and Information Network, which you can find online, it's what, VSiN.com, or you can find it on Sirius XM 204. Do I have that number right? I don't have Sirius XM anymore. Gil loved one of the phrases I have said to him for years when we do our fantasy segments, which are every Thursday morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, about the better teams and how you want to get a piece. Now, I'm modifying that. Gil knows I often say the better offenses. But let's just talk about, we're basically at the midseason point of the NFL season also. All right? We're pretty much there. This is week 8. So the better teams in the NFL, these are all teams with a minimum of 5 wins as of right now. Pats, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, Saints, Vikings, Packers, Seahawks, and 49ers. Right? So 9 teams have 5 wins or more. 2 teams are undefeated, 49ers and Patriots. There's not much fantasy there for us. That's part of what's difficult this year. Normally, winning teams, especially in the modern NFL, you got multiple guys, and it's a winning formula. Let's go team by team just to maybe make you feel better that it's more difficult seemingly this year, or it's just difficult this year on its own. Patriots, they've been a mess. For fantasy, they have. They've been a mess for us. Tom Brady's been okay. He hasn't been putting up enough huge numbers to keep pace with Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes when Mahomes was healthy. But he's been okay. He's been starter worthy. In single quarterback leagues, and definitely your QB1 in 2 quarterback leagues. But beyond that, there's no one running back. Sony Michel has had volume, doesn't do much with it. He's had a lot of volume in recent weeks. Last week, he fell into the end zone from 1 yard out 3 times. That's like touchdown dependent to the third power. Wide receiver. Okay, so we had Antonio Brown for 1 week. Josh Gordon was just placed on IR, so they're going to try to jump through a loophole so they can waive him, save some money, and pay Mohamed Sanu, who they just brought in. Edelman's been, he's been good, right? Not great, but he's been good. Philip Dorsett, every, 2 to 3 games, catches a touchdown pass, but that's pretty much it. And no tight end stand out for the Patriots, which is odd, right? Based on how they ran their offense for so many years. So there's not much there with the Patriots. With the Bills, Josh Allen has been good. He's starting for me. Am I starting him in the league where I can barely field a team? Yeah, he's my starter this week. He was my starter 2 weeks ago. Josh Allen is, he's good. All right, he's not great, but he's good. What else on Buffalo do you got? Frank Gore. The ageless Frank Gore, active Hall of Famer, just like Adrian Peterson, but kind of touchdown dependent. Not going to have huge games. You need to have, as we've talked about in previous years, if you don't have players that can't give you the 25 points or more per game on your roster at all, you will not win in fantasy football. The best fantasy football lineup you could have is the lineup where everybody you start scores a, I said on the previous podcast, if you could have a starting lineup that guaranteed you a minimum of 10 points each week, you'd take it, all right? In addition, you need players who can go off, get you 25, 28, 30, 33, 35. What did Deshaun Watson get us, owners of Deshaun Watson, a couple weeks ago? Like 42? What did Lamar Jackson get in week 1 in just the first half? Got to have that. That wins you games. Those things win you games, not you worrying about irrelevant tight ends. Sorry, I got to get that in there. Bills don't really have anything else that worthwhile. John Brown's been fine for the Bills. Cole Beasley's been okay for the Bills, not for fantasy players. Chiefs at 5-2. So Mahomes goes down, but even before he went down, Tyreek Hill was out. Kelce's numbers have dipped. What else was there that we could count on? And I'm someone that at one point was rostering all three Chiefs running backs in the Moneyball League. I had Darren, Darrell, and McCoy. Now, 1 week it worked out. I played McCoy and did I play Darren or Darrell? I think I played Darrell. Darrell got two short touchdown runs, and McCoy got volume, and both of them floored me at 10, and I think Darrell ended up with like 17. So it worked, but it worked once. So many of you were trying to find that hot Kansas City wide receiver when Tyreek Hill went out. There wasn't one from 1 week to the next. Ravens. Now, Lamar Jackson is the biggest producer in fantasy football through the first 7 weeks. He's had some enormous weeks, and he is running the ball a lot more than they apparently designed this offense to do so, but it's great for fantasy owners. Mark Ingram has been a very productive running back, although it's either seemingly for Ingram a very big week or a lower floor. So there's volatility there. But in terms of the pass catchers, many of you rushed to the waiver wire to claim Marquise Brown after week one. Around week four or five, you dropped him. Some of you went back to the waiver wire to claim him in week six-ish. And this week you dropped him again. Andrews has been one of the handful of tight ends putting up anything worthwhile in terms of tight end numbers. But beyond that, it's not like the Ravens are giving you a lot of choices in who's putting up the points beyond the quarterback position. 49ers, I guess you're hopeful Emmanuel Sanders actually gives you something. Now, they produce a lot of rushing yards, and their DST has been good. But beyond that, Garoppolo's not a fantasy quarterback. Garoppolo is the polar opposite of a Jameis Winston or a Matt Ryan. Garoppolo is winning games. Winston and Ryan are winning you fantasy games. The Niners rotate more running backs than the Chiefs, and no one in that wide receiver core has been worth a damn or consistent, which is why they go out and get Emmanuel Sanders and are going to use him immediately. And I warned you, your expectations on George Kittle were insane. I warned you all August about that. Seahawks, Russell Wilson putting up big-time numbers. Chris Carson has put up good numbers, overcame the fumbling problems of September. Seahawks stuck with him. Lockett's been, let's say, okay, right? For those of you that drafted Lockett, he's been all right to play him each week, but you've been disappointed, right? Because he didn't get the extra targets that you thought he'd get when Doug Baldwin retired. You went out of your mind for Will Disley, and then he was gone. Packers. Until the last couple of weeks, Aaron Rodgers' owners were extremely frustrated. Now Aaron is getting it done. But is any one wide receiver worth playing every week until Devontae Adams comes back? Nope. Got an email about that this week. Hey, it looks like Devontae Adams is going to be out this week. So does that mean I should play Lazard, Valdez-Scantling, or Allison? My answer was none. Go on waivers. Get somebody else. None of them are good. I know MVS had one long catch and run. One long catch and run in the last game. Lazard, the previous game to that. It's like the Mahomes thing. It's just, well, he's open. Maybe he can make a play or two, but there's no consistency to it. Find something else that's more consistent. And the Packers are still rotating running backs. Aaron Jones, as good as he can be like it was against the Cowboys, Jamal Williams still gets time when he's healthy. Maybe it's because Aaron Jones has, as we've talked about on the Bucks Bulletin, the reason why Ronald Jones doesn't get more reps in Tampa Bay is because he doesn't always pick up his pass block, which could knock your quarterback out for the rest of the game, multiple games, or for the season. Vikings, they're not playing fantasy football anymore. They're 6-2. And with some changes to the play calling, to the balance of that offense, with Adam Thielen speaking up, and you know there were a lot of other things behind the scenes, and with getting Kirk Cousins outside of the pocket, moving him. He's not mobile, but you can move him by design. It gives him that extra second and a half for him to make the downfield throws without it being incomplete or worse, him turning it over, being hit from behind and fumbling. So the Vikes are one of the few teams, right? We've basically named, it took us until the eighth team we named with a minimum, with two maximum of two losses to get to a team with multiple people worth owning fantasy-wise. Thank goodness, because in the podcast league, I have Cook and I have Diggs, and I hung in there with Diggs. I got trade offers for him, and I'm like, nope. And I only kept Diggs because I'm like, I know this guy is good. Either the Vikings are going to trade him, or they're going to get him the ball. Smart move by the Vikings and me. And then the Saints, who just keep winning with Teddy Bridgewater, or winning with Teddy Bridgewater and Latavius Murray. Michael Thomas's numbers, not a lot of explosive games, but a high floor. Hasn't really dropped off with Teddy Bridgewater. No other receiver worth playing every week, but that's nothing new with the Saints. Michael Thomas kind of broke the mold. Drew Brees' reputation until Michael Thomas came along was, well, Drew's going to spread it around because Sean Payton can game plan just getting anybody wide open or open enough for Drew Brees to find him, and that's how we'll move our offense. It'll be based on what the defense does. But Michael Thomas totally shatters that because he's the best wide receiver against press coverage in the league. He catches the highest percentage of balls thrown his way. And didn't drop off maybe a smidge with Teddy Bridgewater. Then Kamara goes out. Murray has a good game against the Bears, and it kind of feels like Murray's going to go this week as well. Kamara, I guess, is questionable right now. Drew Brees, questionable. Some saying, well, you're at home against Arizona and a bye week next week. Why would you bother? Sean Payton knows what he's doing. He does. So I just hope I figure it out for fantasy purposes. But at least Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray have been worthwhile with or without Drew Brees. But the point of this podcast is that the good NFL teams aren't giving you a lot of great, consistent fantasy options. And it's not like the shitty teams, the Dolphins, Redskins, and Bengals, and Jets can bail you out because they can't. Dolphins, I haven't mentioned them on a fantasy football podcast since August, where I basically said, don't draft any Dolphins. Now, if you have an extra roster space and you want to throw Kenyon Drake on your roster before his game this week, do they play this week or are they on bye? I don't even know. They do. They play. Yeah, they play Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's a lousy Monday night game. Congratulations, ESPN. Another shitty game. Throw Drake on your roster just because he might be traded by the time waivers get processed again. One of the reports I saw on ProFootballTalk.com was that the Titans would be interested in Drake. What are the Titans doing? Seriously, does that make any sense to anybody? Adding Drake to the Titans? You have Derrick Henry, who throughout his entire career has been the most underused quality running back in the NFL. And you actually were using him a lot this year, and you still do. What do you need Kenyon Drake for? Redskins, yeah, plug and play Adrian Peterson here or there. A rookie wide receiver, that's it. You know, maybe Jay Gruden just knew Dwayne Haskins didn't have it and was trying to save him the embarrassment. Not saying Dwayne Haskins will never have it. Maybe Jay knew that too. sure looks like Jay Gruden knew something about Dwayne Haskins to me. And the Bengals, it's Tyler Boyd. You Joe Mixon owners have taken a bath on Joe Mixon this year. You really have. I mean, that offensive line, it's not Joe. That offensive line is garbage. And game flow just further kills anything that you hope to get out of Joe Mixon. That's a Juju Smith-Schuster or worse this year for those of you that invested the hype draft pick in Joe Mixon. And you're still hanging on to A.J. Green, probably just hoping for a trade and that he can play a handful of games because he seems to be injury prone at this point in his career. All right, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast again is presented by Hooters, my email. And you can email me Monday through Saturday. Do not email me on Sunday. That is my day to do my thing, fantasy-wise, golf-wise, and otherwise. Monday through Saturday, you can email me and you will get a response at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. You can follow me on Instagram at ToddWright2019. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck this weekend.